So if you don't know, some of you may not even know who I am. I'm usually in the back with the kids, as Chris said. My name is Devin. Also, I'll say that if you weren't listening to Chris earlier. My name is Devin, and that'll actually come in handy in a little bit. And so I grew up in church. Is that part of anybody else's story? Anybody else in here grow in church? Yeah, it does make you better than the people next to you, but we sometimes think it does. Just kidding. But that's part of my story. I grew up in church, and a big reason why I grew up in church is that my grandpa actually started a church when my dad was a kid. So my grandpa started the church, my dad grew up in that church, my dad became an adult, had two children, one of which was me, named me Devin, made me grow up in church. I'm glad he did. It wasn't like sometimes he did drag me, but I'm glad he drug me. And what's interesting about why he named me Devin is that his name is Darren. And so our names are literally just two letters apart. And so if you grew up in church, you can probably imagine what happened as a result of me having a name two letters different from my dad's name. I respond to Darren is what that means. Every single week, it doesn't matter what, I would walk into church and somebody somewhere in that church would walk up to me, look into my non-Darren eyes, and say, "Good morning, Darren." And I would go along with it, and I'd call them by the wrong name as well, just kidding. So they would mix up our names. Now, I don't think they were actually confusing me for my dad. They didn't look at me and think, "This is the adult Darren." They just said Darren. They know I'm the kid. They know I'm Devin. They just said Darren on accident. So they weren't actually mistaking me for my dad until, that is, I got a bit older and I did what all boys do and went through puberty. And something that happens when you go through puberty is your voice gets a bit deeper, right? Amen. Yeah, thank you. So I went through puberty. My voice got a bit deeper. And something interesting would happen. This was a while ago. I'm not super old, but I'm old enough that when I was a kid, we had what's called a home phone. Now, this was like a cell phone, but only for phone calls, and it was on the wall, and you couldn't go too far because it literally had a cord, and so we had this home phone, and when it would ring, sometimes one of my responsibilities was to answer the phone if no one else was near the phone. So I would answer the phone, and all I would say was, "Hello, hello," and what the other person oftentimes would say is, "Hey, Darren, how's it going?" And then they'd go into whatever the reason was that they had called for. Now, when this first started, I found it to be super annoying. As you can tell, I was probably a really cool teenager. I was. And I had a lot better things to do than talk to my dad's friends on the phone and hear what they're trying to talk to my dad about. So this was annoying that they thought I was my dad. But then I got an idea. And I thought to myself, what if I went along with this? Let's see how long I can get people to believe that I am my dad on the phone. And so I would answer it, and they'd say, "Hello, Darren," and go into their thing and tell me what they had called for. And I'm like, "That's really interesting. I'm so glad you called me today." And I would go until, A, they realized I wasn't actually my dad, or B, I felt bad. And the second one is what ended up happening. I would feel bad, like they're telling me like serious stuff, and I'm like, whoa, I don't want to know anymore, or like your story is too sad for me to deal with. And I would eventually come clean and let them know, hey, I'm actually not Darren. I'm his punk teenage son who actually didn't have anything better to do like I thought I did. So this actually led to a practice I still do to this day. You know, it's harder to do now because my parents live in Phoenix, and so I can't answer their home phone anymore, which they do still have. But now I answer my wife's phone and try to convince her parents or siblings or whoever's on the other line that I'm Cynthia. And I have a lot less success with this one for some reason. I did convince her sister one time that I was her. Not for very long, just on the hello, I guess. My voice was an octave higher that day. I don't know what led to that happening, but it did, and I convinced her. But why was I able to convince people that I was my dad over the phone? And I think the reason is that over the phone, the only context you have is your voice. That's all you got. In face-to-face conversations, in person, if me and my dad were standing next to each other, they're not going to mistake me for my dad. He's a lot older, and he looks it. I hope he doesn't listen to this. He's a lot older and he looks it. We dress different. He's got a respectable haircut and I have this growing out. And so they wouldn't mistake us face to face. But over the phone, all they have is our voice. And even that isn't entirely perfect. Phone calls cut in and out. Phone calls get dropped. There's all the distractions going on around you when you're on the phone. And so all you have is someone's voice. And even that doesn't provide an entirely accurate version. And so a common result is misunderstandings and misheard information. And I think that can be a challenge. I think phone calls can be a challenge. I think talking to people can sometimes be a challenge because communication is vital in any relationship. It doesn't matter what relationship we're thinking about. It could be a friend, a family member, spouse, someone at work. In every relationship that we have, open and honest communication is an absolute must. We must hear what the other person is saying, and we must understand it the right way in order for the relationship to continue being successful. And so I think what sometimes happens in our life is we get this idea of God as an entity, somebody that's far off, this idea, someone who maybe caused everything to happen and then kind of just stepped away, and we think of him as far off, when in reality, the way that God has interacted with his creation throughout history is through relationship. It's through having relationship with those that he created. And so if relationship with God is possible, so too is communication with God. And I would say it's not just possible to communicate with God, but it's actually something to be desired. It's something that can help us in our lives. And so this is what it looks like in list form. I don't know if we have any list people in here, but I love lists. And so we're going to look at a list right here. First one is that God still speaks to people today. So God still speaks to people today. And then the second, it builds on it. It says, what God has to say is important and can benefit us greatly. So God still speaks to us today. What he has to say to us is important and can be beneficial to us, can help us out a lot. But the problem comes in number three on our list, where it says, we frequently face difficulty hearing his voice. And so, much like my ability to deceive other people about my identity over the phone because they couldn't see my face, we don't have God's face with us. When we speak to God, we don't have the privilege of speaking to God face to face. The way we primarily communicate with God is through prayer, right? That's a Sunday school answer. It's a kind of an easy one. And so prayer is our primary way of communicating with God. But in that, we have a lot of distractions that keep us from praying, right? We all have our jobs, our schedules, our families, our hobbies, our technology, all of these things in our lives that aren't necessarily bad things, but they do demand our time and they demand our attention. And so when we are finding ourselves trying to hear from God, whether we're trying to just get general seeking him for what we should do with our lives, or if it's for a specific situation, what should I do here? What should I do today? What should I do in this situation? Or if we're even just seeking to hear God's voice, period. Is he out there? Does God still speak to people today? If we're trying to find that answer there are things, I think, that we face that cause interference in hearing God's voice. And I think that even if we're able to push past those distractions, even if we're able to limit the interference, there are things, even in ourselves, I think, that can mute God's voice. We begin to doubt ourselves and have second thoughts about, is this really from God? Am I really hearing from God in this situation? Is God really speaking to me through this? Is this just a voice in my head? Is this something I made up? Is this just an idea I saw in a movie? And so we have these things that distract us from hearing God and hearing God correctly. And so the question for us this morning is, how can we know if we are hearing from God? And how can we know if we're hearing God the right way? And so what I want to do this morning is suggest three filters that I think can help us to hear God the right way. And the first one is the Word of God. The Word of God is a fancy way of saying the Bible. And let's actually look in the Bible at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes this. He says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So, Paul says that scripture, the Word of God, the Bible, is inspired by God. And what that means is that different people at different times in different cultures wrote different things about their experiences with God. But through all those differences, through the thousands of years that it was written over, through the different authors and the different personalities that were involved in the writing, one big thing stayed the same throughout all of it. And that is that God inspired these individuals to write down their experiences with him and what they had learned about him. And the result of that cooperation, that interaction, that inspiration from God is what we call and have in our hands today, the Word of God. And so God's Word is inspired, God's Word is reliable, God was involved in the entire process, but Paul also says that God's Word is useful. He says that it's useful to teach us what is true and right, and to also help us realize what is wrong, and to correct us when we are wrong, which is what we said is kind of our goal at the beginning here, right? We're seeking to hear God's voice. We're seeking to limit distractions and find out what is true, find out if what we're hearing from God is being heard correctly. And Paul is saying here that the filter of the Word of God shows us exactly what is right, shows us exactly what is wrong. And so what we should do with that knowledge is to take what we're hearing from God, what we believe we've heard from God, and compare that to what we read in the Word of God. Because ultimately what it comes down to is God is not going to say something to you that he hasn't already said to you. In other words, God isn't going to contradict himself. He's not going to say something to us today that is going to go against what he said to them then, that they wrote down and we have in the Word. And so what we should be doing is taking what we hear from God, what we believe we are hearing from God, and seeing if it lines up with the Word of God. Because if it doesn't, if what we think we are hearing from God is in conflict with the Word of God, chances are pretty good that we aren't hearing God correctly. A second filter that is helpful for us when trying to hear God the right way is the people of God. See, there are individuals in all of our lives, people who have been seeking God, have been on this journey with Jesus longer than we have. It might be because they were born before us, they're a bit older than us, or it could just be that they got an earlier start in their relationship with Jesus. But we all know someone who has been at this relationship with God longer than we have. And I think that we as Christians should seek these people out and latch on to them and not take no for an answer. But maybe you should take no for an answer. I mean, don't pester people, bother them, you know, don't creep anybody out. But we need to soak up all the wisdom that we can get from the people who have it, because the wise input of godly people is absolutely invaluable. And here's why I say that. Here's why I think it's so important to have wise input from the people around us. The attitude, who we surround ourselves with has an undeniable outcome and influence on who we become. The attitudes and the actions of those we choose to surround ourselves with, if we're not careful, those end up being the attitudes and actions of us. They find their way inside and can negatively influence how we live. Proverbs 13:20 puts it like this, says, "Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble." See, there's no limit of people who are willing to speak into your life. You could go up to a person you don't know and ask their opinion on any subject and they'll give it to you. Ask for their opinion on what you should do, their advice on your life, and they'll probably give it to you. And it'll probably be terrible advice. It'll probably be like Facebook nonsense, like follow your heart or something like that. And it's not good advice. And so not everyone who is in our life should have equal say and equal input and equal opinions into our lives. Not everyone you know should have equal influence in how you live. I think that we should be very picky about who we allow to be close enough to us to speak into our lives. We should be smart with our friends, and we should be smart with the people we allow to influence us, to avoid the fools and to walk with the wise. A third filter I think that is helpful for us in hearing God is the filter of the purposes of God. You see, each one of us have been created by God with purpose and for a purpose. And so on an individual level, our purposes aren't going to look the same. Your purpose may not to be to come up and preach, or your purpose may not to be working at a church or doing certain things. We're all going to do different things on an individual level, but we all have purposes that God has put into our life that we all share. There's five that I kind of want to zoom in on today. The first one is worship. We were all created for worship. We were created to worship the one who created us, to live lives that point others to Jesus, to live in such a way that our lives worship God, that show people that God is worthy of our lives. A second thing we were all created for is discipleship. And that is simply the process of becoming more like Jesus every day. We were designed and created to, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our decisions, to grow closer to Jesus and become more like him. We were all created for fellowship, like that the second filter. We were created to have meaningful relationships with those that God has placed in our life, those that we had no say in the matter, being our family, or those that we choose, our friends. We were created for fellowship with other people, to share life with other people. We were all created for ministry, and that doesn't necessarily mean church work. It doesn't necessarily mean being involved with a church, although those are good things that we all should do. We were all created for ministry, meaning that we were all created to serve other people, to take every opportunity we have to look for someone who's hurting, look for someone who has a need, and fill that need, to put others' needs above our own and do everything we can to help someone else. And we were all created for evangelism, which is taking this forgiveness, this new life, all of these things that we've experienced from Jesus, and sharing that with whoever we come in contact with who may need it, sharing this good news with those who need it. And so if we're hearing something from God that doesn't fit into one of these categories, the chances are that it's not coming from God. These five things are the heart of God. God wills that we all do these. If you're wondering what God's will for your life is, it's to worship him. It's to be discipled. It's to fellowship with other people. It's to minister. It's to evangelize. That is God's will for your life. And so if we're hearing something from God that doesn't line up with the purposes of God, the chances again are good that it's not from God. And so these are all really fun things. It's really cool. We could end the sermon right here. We could pray and we could go home, and we've got three filters to kind of think about, which we probably should do. We should think about it still. But we like to zoom in even more and talk about, what does this look like in my daily life? What can I do with this on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday? How can I live this out in my real life? And so the question is, how can I apply the first filter of the Word of God? And the first one is really easy. You could probably guess it if you wanted to. But you got to read it. We can't just take the Bible and assume the knowledge is going to find its way into our brain. We can't hold it up to our head. We can't just hope for the best that it'll end up getting to us. We have to actually open it, and we have to actually read it. Now, hold on to your seats, because this next sentence, it's going to blow your mind. Paul wrote that this is useful, that the Bible is useful, but a useful thing is only useful if you use it. Whew! I know. You can take that home with you, write it down. So we need to use it. We need to read it. We need to get to the place where we learn to fall in love with God's word, where it's not a chore, it's not our adult homework that we have to do, or our day was a failure. It's something we need to learn to allow to be something we love, to fall in love with the word of God, to make it a habit to let God speak to us through the words that he inspired. So we need to use it, we need to read it. But beyond that, we also need to learn the importance of reading it correctly. So the Bible can't help us if we don't read it, but it also can't help us if we're not understanding it correctly. In fact, if we're reading the Bible and misunderstanding it, it could potentially cause us more harm than good. See, throughout the years, the unfortunate truth is that people have used scripture to support some of the worst things that have ever happened in history. And a further unfortunate truth is that we could take any bad idea that we have and go to the Bible and try and find validation for that idea in the Bible, and we can misuse it and probably find validation for that idea. And people have done just that. They've taken all kinds of terrible ideas and supported it with scripture by misusing it. And so we need to learn to be good students of the Bible, to understand it rightly. And so instead of doing that, instead of going to the Bible with our ideas, here's what I think we should strive to do instead. Here's what I think our goal should be, is that I will interpret my life by the word of God, not interpret the word of God by my life. So that is, it's a fun phrase, but how do we actually do that? And so I have a few questions that have helped me in trying to understand the Bible more deeply, to understand the Bible correctly. And these are the questions that I ask myself as I read the Bible. The first one is, when was it written? When was what this specific part of the Bible that I'm reading, when was it written? The next one is, who wrote it? Who was the individual, the actual person who sat down and wrote this? And then why did they write it? Why did they feel that it was necessary to write down what they wrote? And the last question is similar to that, in that, what did they hope to accomplish by writing it down? What did they think would happen by them writing it down? Once we understand the answers to those questions, we can begin to then ask ourselves what it means for us today. Because there's a big gap we've got to cover. The Bible was written a long time ago in a culture that's very different from ours. So there is some ground we have to cover in order to understand it for us today. And so those are some questions that I found to be helpful. But how do we find the answers to those questions? And the answer is simple. It's the same way you find the answer to what other movies is this guy in that I recognize. What do you do when you have that question? The internet. We find all our answers on the internet. It knows everything. And so the same is true for this. We can dig a little bit deeper and go to another level of understanding the Bible by searching for the resources that are available to us online. There's podcasts, there's articles, there's books, there's all of these things available to help us deepen our understanding of God's word that are just there for us to take advantage, that range on a scale from very accessible to very academic. And so wherever you fall on that scale, there are resources for you. And they all have the same goal of helping us understand God's word and go deeper in our understanding. So that's one thing we can do. What's another practical step we can do to apply the filter of the word of God? And I think another thing we do kind of blends into our second filter, but that is talk about it with other people. Reading the Bible is great. Doing research on our own about the Bible is great. But there have been things that I've learned about God and about his word that I would have never learned if I hadn't asked someone else. Everyone you know, everyone you come in contact with has a unique perspective and a different outlook on God, probably than you do. And we can benefit from that outlook from other people. And so we can talk to them, let them know what we're struggling to understand. And they may not be struggling to understand that. They may have some valuable insight that we can't put a price on that can absolutely help us. A way to go about this, we all have friends, talk to them. We could join, there's several movement groups that talk about the Bible on a weekly basis that zoom in on a specific part of the Bible. We can join one of those and learn that way, because the perspective of others can open our eyes to things in Scripture that we might have never seen otherwise. The second filter we need to use is the people of God. So how do we apply this one? Like I mentioned earlier, the odds are pretty good that someone you currently know is a godly wisdom person. There's probably someone in your circle who has godly wisdom that they can share with you. And our job is to seek those people out. Or to put it another way, our goal for this one is that I will listen for the voice of God in the wisdom of his people. I will listen for the voice of God in the wisdom of his people. So maybe for you, that wisdom person is a parent or a friend or a neighbor, somebody at work, somebody sitting in the row next to you today. Or maybe for you, it's none of those people. But chances are pretty good you may have someone like that in your life. But it may also happen that you don't have anyone like that in your life. But I believe that God would love to answer your prayer for him to send someone like that into your life. So how do we go about this one? How do we apply this filter into our lives? So maybe for you to apply this filter, you need to think about who in your life meets this criteria. who in your life is a wise wisdom person that you can surround yourself with, and you need to go seek them out, and maybe it's uncomfortable if you're an introvert, and ask them to hang out, go to lunch, and pick their brain, to latch on to them. Or maybe for you, it's praying about if you have anyone in this in your life that meets that criteria, praying, who could this person be? Who can I find? Who do I know currently who can pour into my life? And if you don't find anyone, praying that God would send that person into your life. Send them my way. Send me someone who can pour wisdom into my life. Maybe for you, you've been doing what the opposite of Proverbs told us to do, and you've been associating with fools for far too long and getting in too much trouble. And so maybe the step for you is to not walk with the fools, but to walk with the wise, to surround yourself with the right people, to replace the negative relationships that you have in your life with good, God-honoring relationships that can help make you better. Or maybe for you, you have godly wisdom people in your life, you have people that pour into you, but the process has been stopping there. You've been receiving the wisdom and you kind of let it just sit there. Maybe for you, your step is you need to find someone in your life that you can continue to let the wisdom come through. Someone you can find and take them under your wing, pour out the wisdom that you've received into them so that the way that you've been made better, you can then give that to someone else. And the last filter is the filter of the purposes of God. And this one is a pretty big difference from the other two. The first two filters we experience externally. The Word of God, we have to read it, we have to pick it up, open it, we have to open our app or however we read God's Word. We have to read it and then do the work of understanding it. And so we experience that one outside of ourselves. The same with the people of God. We have to have the relationships, we have to go to the coffee shop, we have to go to their house, we have to be in their presence. We experience those two filters externally. But the third filter is predominantly internal. We experience the purposes of God by looking inward and prayerfully searching ourselves to discover where our personality and abilities line up with the five purposes that we listed earlier. And so this is the goal for this one. I will discover God's purpose for my life by purposefully discovering who he created me to be. And that's kind of a lofty goal, right? Discovering who God created you to be. That's something that sounds pretty hard to do. So how do we actually go about discovering who God created us to be? And I think the answer for us comes in our primary way of communicating with God, through prayer. The way we do this one is by praying and asking God, how can I be a better worshiper? How can my life better point other people to Jesus? How can I fellowship with other people? Who can I spend time with? Who can I surround myself with? How can I better find better people to be around? How can I look for opportunities to be Jesus to the people that I find? Where is a need that I can find? Where is a need that I can fill? Where is a person that I can help? Where is a person who needs to be loved that I can show love to? How can I, another way is by being open to sharing what we've experienced, the good news of Jesus, the forgiveness and this new creation, and sharing it with someone who may need it. By going into Growth Track, like Chris said earlier, is a great way for us to discover our purpose, what we were created for, what our individual personalities and abilities are, so that we can use those for the glory of God. And here's the exciting part of all of this. These filters are excellent at drowning out the noise that we talked about earlier, about limiting the distractions and pushing those things aside and helping us to focus in on God's voice. And so when we become experts at these three filters, at applying these three filters, at living out these three filters, we become experts at hearing God's voice. These filters have a way of bringing clarity to what God is speaking to us and brings us the peace that can only be found in a relationship with him. And so using these filters is important. We need the Word of God, the people of God, and the purposes of God to help us better hear the voice of God. And so is getting this right a challenge? Absolutely. When we feel like we've got a handle on one, the other two are slacking. When we feel like we got a handle on two, the third one is just outside of our grasp. And so we tend to neglect another one. We mess up, we fall short, we will get it wrong. But the good news is that there's hope. The good news is that the one that we are trying to hear from wants to be heard. the one we're trying to listen to wants us to hear him. And he is full of patience for us, and he's full of grace for us, and he invites us to listen. And so our job is to become better listeners. And so let's pray and ask him to help us do just that. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for each life that is here this morning. I thank you for this opportunity. And I thank you for the truth that you still speak to us today. I thank you that despite our challenge of hearing you, despite all the things that we let bring in interference and distractions, that you still want to speak to us today. And so I pray that you would help us in that endeavor. I pray that you would help us to become experts in the Word of God, that you would just give us a desire to dig deeper and to understand better what you have written in your Word so that it can shape the decisions that we make in the life that we live. I pray that you would reveal to us who we need to surround ourselves with of your people. I pray that you would bring people into our lives that will speak wisdom to us, that will help us become better people as opposed to surrounding ourselves with people who will just distract us. I pray that you would reveal your purpose for each and every one of us to us, that you would help us to look inward, to prayerfully search ourselves and find out who we are and who you have created us to be so that we can fulfill the purposes that you have for us during our time here on earth. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you even more than that for who you are and pray that you would go with us from this place this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being here and we'll see you next week.